This is Just Women, every Tuesday at 1 o'clock on Brooklands Radio.
Our next guest is Mary Waring. Hi, that rhymes, Mary Waring. Mary, Mary, just before we talk about the current work you're doing, can you just tell us a bit about your background? What's brought you to this point, your career?
Well, my background is I'm a chartered accountant. I then wanted to do something different, so I became a financial advisor. And I specialise in financial advice to women going through divorce. So they're typically women who don't work. Well, they don't work outside the home, just in case lots of women phone up complaining. I'm saying they don't work. Sorry, so they're ladies who don't work outside the house. They look after the home and the children and the husband looks after the money. So if it all goes horribly wrong and they end up in divorce, she probably has no confidence about the money at all. And of course, it's in the middle of all this terrible emotion with the divorce, and she's lost. So women don't need different advice to men, but they do need a different approach. They need looking after. And the typical financial advisor is male, middle-aged, grey hair, grey suit. There's absolutely nothing wrong with that, but that doesn't work for everyone. So that's why I set up Wealth for Women, because I thought there was a real gap in the market for these ladies to get financial advice and be looked after.
I mean, would you say also that women who have recently been bereaved are in a similar situation?
It's the same thing.
Often men tend to look after the finances, don't they? So that's just...
Well, I think in any relationship, one person tends to look after the finance, and it is often the man. And which means that if the woman hasn't looked after finance for 15, 20, maybe more years, she just doesn't have the confidence to do it.
What do you think that, you know, having done this for a while now, you think are some of the main concerns that people approach you about?
Actually, the main concern from my clients is almost regardless of the amount of money that they get in settlement, if it's divorce, it's concern they're going to run out because they've never been in the situation before that there's no money coming in. Because if these ladies aren't earning, the only money they're going to get is what they get from the settlement. And then they're not getting any more. So they have a constant panic that they're going to run out of money.
Sure.
And presumably women will come to you at various stages of of divorce, thinking about divorce, what am I going to do if it actually happens, and then, you know, during and then after as well.
That's right. A lot of ladies come to me very early. They haven't necessarily even spoken to a solicitor at that stage. They just want to discuss what their life might look like if they got divorced, because especially if the husband is a major wage earner, they're concerned about there not being enough money, and they have to worry about what's my life going to look like, where am I likely to be living, where are the children going to be. So some come very early on, and then I can help them through the whole process, and I can work with their solicitor to look at, if you get this settlement, this is what life's going to look like. If you get this settlement, this is what it's going to look like. Because I think money on its own doesn't mean very much. It's what can you do with it? So what I show them is, what's your life going to look like when you get this level of settlement? What can you afford to do? Can you still afford to have holidays, or are you going to have to seriously budget?
Do women come to you just because they want to be financially dependent, and they may not even have any ideas about divorce, or generally is it because they're already on already thinking about it?
I've got to say, a lot of my clients are divorced, going through divorce, but I do non-divorce as well.
Yes.
So I do have ladies come to me, and I don't force them to get divorced before they can be my client. And I also I have couples,
right?
But I specialise really in anyone who wants to be looked after going through finance, and they're looking for that looking after service rather than just to be told, this is what you do with your money.
And your website, Wealth for Women, I had a look at it today, and I found there were three areas that they deal with, and I thought it was very succinct and kind of a holistic approach, which is the preparation service, the what do I need service, and the hand-holding service. Could you just give us a brief overview of that?
Well, the preparation service is, if you're going through divorce, you need to fill in an awful lot of paperwork for your solicitor, so it's helping you fill it in. And often some of my clients do hold investments or pensions, it's in their name, but the husband has set it up in their name. So although it's in their name, they actually don't know anything about it. So it's helping them understand what it is, filling in all the various forms for their solicitor. It will be looking at, if you're likely to need to downsize, what sort of property can you get for money? So that's all the preparation. The what do I need service is looking at, in an ideal world, for the lifestyle you'd like to lead after divorce, what amount of settlement do you need? And if you don't get that settlement and you get a different figure, what's your life going to look like as a result? And then hand-holding is, most of my clients are very long-term clients. So they come to me and they've got a settlement and we invest it. But actually, I then meet with them maybe twice a year, once a year. And we look then at, are there any reasons why we want to make changes to the investment? And a lot of these ladies, because they haven't managed the finance, you don't want to, once you've invested for them, just walk away and leave them. So that's why it's my hand-holding service. It's looking after them for as long as they need it.
And have you got lawyers and solicitors that you could guide people towards?
Yes. Yeah, so a lot of clients, if they come to me before they've got a solicitor, I can point them in the direction of who would be the right person for them and for what they're looking for.
Sharon, this is definitely a talk for us. One of the talks you offer is, help, where has all my money gone? Some of my friends might say, on shoes.
I think it's a bit late for me.
I think that's great. Can you tell us a bit about sort of what that might include?
Well, that's looking at, a lot of people say, if you're talking about saving, oh, I haven't got any money to save. And often it's not necessarily that you need more income coming in. Maybe you need to spend less. But it's also, you actually need to be aware of what you're spending on. And for all of us, we've got money coming in, we take money out of the cash point, and it goes. Yeah. And you're not quite sure what it's gone on.
Sure.
So one of my tips is, keep a very detailed record of everything you're spending. And I know it sounds really boring, but if you want to know where your money goes, and you either do it the old-fashioned way with a notepad and paper and you write everything down, or you get an app on your phone.
Oh, I didn't know there was an app for that.
Yeah, brilliant. And then it's, if you put it into some form of spreadsheet, and my advice is, do it for a minimum of 3 months. Because if you only do it for 1 month,
you get a trend.
Yeah, absolutely. You're not sure whether that was a normal month. If you do it for 3 months, and then I'd suggest you look at every single line and ask yourself, how can I reduce that figure? So you don't ask, can I reduce it? Because the answer might be no.
Yeah.
You ask, how can I reduce it? And then you start to think about, well, actually, do I really want to spend that amount of money on coffee? You know, if you're buying a coffee from the posh coffee shop
every day,
several times a day, you might not even realise how much that adds up to over the month. So once you've done that exercise, you can actually see what you're spending your money on.
I sometimes run a talk with young people in school around when they go off to uni, because they might be doing things like buying a takeaway pizza instead of getting a supermarket one, buying a coffee or a hot chocolate every day, buying a bar of chocolate every day. And we worked it out over the year. It's something like £600.
Yeah,
we put all those things together. It's a trip to New York for a few days.
And it's all to do with finding that balance, that you don't want to spend no money, because that's what we all go to work for, to get money enjoy it, and you must enjoy it. But also, you don't want to spend so much money that you're not saving anything for the future. So it will be things like, if you go out to some rather expensive restaurant quite frequently, can you go somewhere a bit cheaper? Can you maybe go around to your friend's house and you will get the you know, the £10 deal that you can get in a lot of the supermarkets? It's finding, how can you save some money, but without it having a really negative impact on your life?
I think also, having a mum with children, the amount of money you waste and you can potentially throw away, they grow to have clothes so quickly, their books. And so I love recycling. I love making even small amounts of money, car boots or, you know, secondhand clothing sales. It just feels good that it's going to other people to use. But also it gives you tiny amount of money, yes, but if you get, then you can go out for a cup of tea.
But it's still better than nothing,
exactly,
isn't it? And it will still will mount up if you did that over your child's life up to, I don't know, 18. And actually, if you did keep a note of that, that's probably quite a lot of money that you've made.
I understand, Mary, that you were shortlisted as Chartered Financial Planner of the Year in 2014 and as one of the UK's top-rated financial advisors in The Times in November 2014. What a great accolade.
I know, it's pretty good, isn't it? Thank you, I was quite pleased.
Two guests today that got awards.
We definitely need to go for a little chat afterwards.
We do. See us later.
One thing I was really liked about the website was the testimonials on there, and the general consensus was that the advice was down to earth, straightforward and helpful, and I think that's absolutely essential.
Yeah, I know, that is the whole point. My work is all about, it is down to earth, no jargon, because so many people have sat with a financial advisor who's spoken a whole load of jargon and actually they've walked away and not understood it. So why would you want to have a conversation with a client when they don't understand what you're telling them?
I know that you offer a newsletter that tells people seven mistakes to avoid. What do you think, if you give us two or three that...
Well, that was the mistakes, that was about divorce.
Oh, okay.
That's particularly about divorce. So the areas there were, for example, not using a solicitor, because a lot of people want to save money.
Mediation?
I mean, but the problem is, if you don't use a solicitor, you actually don't know what would be appropriate for you. So you might agree to a figure, and actually it's less than your solicitor.
So would you say, you would advocate actually using a solicitor?
I'd say always use a solicitor. And what you can do, if you and your spouse are getting on really well, you can actually reach agreement between you, but then go and check it with a solicitor. Okay. And you can dip in and out. You don't have to use a solicitor all the time. You could get advice from a solicitor, go away, do quite a lot of work yourself, then go back to the solicitor. So there's lots of ways you can save funds.
What would you say one other thing to avoid in relation to
the
divorce?
The biggest mistake is women thinking there's such a thing as a common law wife, because there's absolutely no thing in law. So if you're living with your partner and your partner owns the house, no matter how long you've been living together, no matter whether you've got children, you're not a wife, you're not entitled to anything.
Even if you've contributed to the mortgage?
Well, you'd have to prove that. Right. And in that case, yes, they'd look at it, but the children will get looked after. But you do not get the rights of a wife. And, of course, lots of people think that common law wife is a term. Absolutely. And they've lived with their partner for years and they've got children and they think they've got rights in a divorce similar to a wife. And actually their rights are nil, absolutely nil.
And so presumably the deeds to the property would be in the husband's name.
Yes. Yeah. So if the woman had moved into the husband's property... Sure. No, she's got no rights to that property, and she's got no rights to spousal maintenance at all. That's a really big issue, because many women, so anyone listening in who's not married...
Running to the registry office now.
Think about it, absolutely.
Wow, yeah, definitely.
And are there any future big plans for Wealth for Women? Anything on the horizon that you can talk about?
Wealth for Women, I want to get myself, hopefully by the end of next year, that I am always viewed as the go-to person for women going through divorce, because I just don't believe there's anyone else out there offering that specialist service.
And you have written a book as well, which has just been updated, is that?
Yeah, my book is called The Wealthy Woman, A Man Is Not a Financial Plan, and it's actually a down-to-earth guide as to how to look after your money. Because we all know that women and men, their brains work differently. I think the way maths is taught in school doesn't appeal to the typical female brain. Mm. Because I've met so many women, really, really smart women, who say, oh no, I don't understand it. And actually, the book is all about, if you're told it in a way that makes sense to you, actually you can understand it, because it's not that complicated at all.
The book is through Amazon.
Yeah, it's available on Amazon. Okay.
Can you just mention a bit about the 30-minute clarity call as well, Mary?
The 30-minute clarity call is because there'll be a lot of people who are a bit nervous about calling an advisor, think that maybe they're committing to something. The 30-minute clarity call is 30 minutes on the phone to discuss, where are you now, where do you want to get to, and what steps can we put in place to help you get to it. Now, it may be that at the end of the 30 minutes, somebody's been given enough advice that they can go away and do it themselves. Or it may be that the advice that they need is much more complicated and they do need help with it. But they've then had 30 minutes with me to decide whether they feel comfortable to have a meeting. And so it was designed around my target audience. What did I think would work for them? And remember, these are ladies who've probably never spoken to an advisor before.
So just to sum up then, Mary, if there's some women out there who are kind of maybe going through a similar thing and a bit anxious about knowing what to do, what advice would you offer them?
Take advice. Take advice from a solicitor and advice from an advisor. And don't think that it's money wasted. Because especially if your solicitor can get you a settlement which is more than you would have agreed to on your own, that's money really well spent.
Brilliant. Can you just tell the listeners the name of your website again?
The website is Wealth for Women, but there's hyphen in between it. So it's wealth-for-women.co.uk.
Lovely. And an email address if they want to contact you?
The email address is mary@wealthforwomen.co.uk.
Thank you very much. So that was Mary Waring from wealthforwomen.co.uk.
You're listening to Just Women on Brooklands Radio. You can join in by emailing any comments or questions you may have to justwomen@brooklandsradio.co.uk, or check us out on Facebook. Search for Just Women at Brooklands Radio. Just Women is just what you need.